Let's talk to a doctor for a few minutes here. Dr. Amar Patani joins us now. He's that doctor that I go to and we talk about sometimes from Main Street Smiles in Barrington. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
You want me to look you up on ChatGPT and see what it says about you?
I'm afraid it's going to be not very knowledgeable. I'm not quite as famous as you guys are.
Yeah, but you're an interesting fella. I mean, I met your lovely family, including your fun brother, at the Blackhawks game the other day. And he was telling me more about you than you tell me about you.
I'm a little afraid to hear some of that.
Here's what we now know about Dr. Patani. And it's stuff we already knew, that you were an electrical engineer, you were a consultant, and then one day you told your family, I want to change careers, and they thought, yeah, well, we know you're going to go where the money is, or you're going to go be a financial guy or something like that, and you said, I want to be a dentist. And they're like, wait, what? You're an engineer, you're a consultant, you want to go back to med school? That's all true, right, Doc?
Yeah, it is. And actually, I would say now that I'm a dentist and have been a dentist for quite a while, there is a good link between engineering and dentistry. You know, dentistry and teeth are all about structures and mechanics and forces and processes. So I see an easy leap between the two.
I know you do. I guess that's one of the reasons why you like to do all the work yourself as well, right? All of the hardware, braces, building crowns, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, what differentiates us here at the practice, and one of the things I feel like I can bring to the table is a comprehensive view of a patient so that when they're in our office, I take a look at everything. So it's not like I'm looking just for cavities or I'm just looking for tooth alignment or I'm just looking for periodontal disease, but we're looking at everything because in the end, we want to give you a treatment plan that covers everything you need to get to where you want to be. And for me personally, that means you not worrying about your teeth. You know, let us do the worrying about your teeth. You go and enjoy your life and eat what you want to eat, and we'll take care of the rest.
Okay, so I saw an article that talked about flossing and its connection to heart health. And I've heard about that before, but I still don't think I get it. How in the world does... It said that if you do not floss regularly, you can actually injure your heart or your arteries, that would somehow be bad for your cardiovascular health. Am I reading that correct, Doc?
Yeah, so, I mean, we get into a little bit of the causation versus correlation in this topic, and it's still not totally clear if there's a direct link to heart disease from flossing or from periodontal disease, which is what flossing helps to prevent in the mouth, but there's long been a suspicion that it's related. When we talk about like correlation, you know, people that in general take better care of their teeth, take better care of their mouths, are flossing and brushing, probably have healthy habits like they eat better, they exercise more, they visit the doctor, they visit the dentist. And so that's more of a correlation in why they may have a decreased risk for cardiovascular health.
Right.
It is shown that there's a if you have periodontal disease, you are 2 to 3 times as likely to have a heart attack, a stroke, or another cardiovascular event. So there's definitely a correlation there. As far as the causation, we know that periodontal disease is caused by inflammation of the periodontium, which is all the tissue, so your gums and your bone, that support your teeth. So your teeth are held in your mouth by your gums and your bone. And when your gums get inflamed, we call that gingivitis. And that's the early stages of periodontal disease. So inflammation in the gums, gingivitis, and then if it's not taken care of, if you're not brushing and flossing enough, if you're not seeing your dentist, then that can progress to what's called periodontal disease, which is where we start to have what's called attachment loss, and where your teeth are not held in as strongly by the gums and by the bone, and eventually you'll have bone loss around your teeth. So it can become a very big problem, especially if it's neglected.
Sure, but that does not get me to heart health unless maybe, isn't the tissue around the gums the same as the tissue in your arteries and veins or something like that?
So it's similar, right? So the soft tissue, it's part of the mucosa in your mouth, in your arteries. There's the inflammation process is similar. So again, there's some thought that it's possible that the bacteria in your mouth can cause acute inflammation in your gums, and that can then become more systemic. And so the bacteria can enter the bloodstream and then start to affect the tissue directly in the arteries and the veins.
That's what I've heard. That's it. So if you develop this stuff, this bacteria in your mouth is now in your system, and now it's circulating throughout you. And if the tissues are the same, then that you don't floss actually imperils your cardiovascular system. That does not sound like a leap to me, Dr. Patani.
Yeah, so I think it's why it's long been thought that there's a relationship, but I think it's still not directly shown, you know, as a direct cause, because there's plenty of people that have gum disease, that have periodontal disease, that don't have cardiovascular problems. And there's plenty of people with cardiovascular problems that don't have periodontal disease. So I think there's more research being done now to show more of a direct link between the two. But there's long thought to be a link between not only cardiovascular disease and oral health, but diabetes and oral health, kidney disease and oral health. So it kind of, you know, our bodies, they work. The different systems work together, right? They share a blood flow, they share components, they share cells. We know that everything moves from one place to the other in our body. So it's not a tough leap to then, you know, think that there could be effects.
Well, I'm of a mind these days, it's frustrating as a citizen, as a patient, say, that they can't say, if you do this, your heart will be healthy. If you do this, then you won't get Alzheimer's. If you do this, you won't get cancer, you know? But then they say, but there is a higher probability. There's a link between these things. So maybe it increases your incidence. We can't say that if you don't floss, you're going to get heart disease. We can't say that. But we can say that there is an increased likelihood, 6%, say, or something like that, that you will develop these things. A lot of medicine seems to operate in that realm these days. We can't tell you it's an if-then, but we can tell you that if you don't do this, there's a greater likelihood that something like that could happen. That sounds like where you are right now.
Yeah, I mean, and there's this big X factor, which is genetics, right? So on top of all this, even if I'm someone that flosses every day, my genetics may predispose me to having cardiovascular problems. So it makes it harder to have a definitive if-then situation, because genetics plays a big role in all of, even with periodontal disease.
Really?
There's a couple different bacteria that cause either decay or periodontal disease in your mouth, and you'll see that people that are more predisposed to periodontal disease almost never have cavities. And people that have cavities don't typically have a lot of periodontal disease. So it's kind of like you're one or the other based on your genetics, based on your saliva content, based on the saliva's mineral content. There's so many factors in all this.
I'm so happy to blame this on my parents because, as you know, I've been a patient of yours. You've seen my mouth, and I've had a history of cavities. And I've wondered, why is it that I do that? I got a son who doesn't floss or brush. He doesn't take care of his teeth like I do. And he's skating. And every now and then you see people, like, why? They go, I've never had a cavity in my life. I'm like, I had 15 when I was 4. So what's up with that? And obviously, we weren't taking good care of my teeth, but maybe this is my mom's fault and my dad's fault. Right, doctor?
We can't say fault. I mean, I would say maybe it's like 20 to 30%.
Oh, give me that. Let me say that it's their fault.
there's lots of factors like your diet, like how and when you consume food. And we're learning more and more every day on that. So, you know, we talked about rinsing your mouth after having carbohydrate-rich foods. We talked about foods that are nicer to your teeth, and brushing and flossing, right? So it's all these things in combination that can lead to the condition of your mouth.
I just got a couple more questions for you. Maybe you do too. Dr. Amar Patani. Patani is on a phone line. Is it Patani or Patani, doctor?
Patani.
Dr. Amar Patani is on a phone line. He's that family dentist at Main Street Smiles in Barrington. Do you have a question? 312-981-7200. Talking to Dr. Amar Patani, the doctor that we talked to, the dentist that we advertised for, Main Street Smiles in Barrington. He's a pretty good expert on all of this stuff. By the way, producer Pete asked ChatGPT, what is Main Street Smiles? Dr. Patani, are you there?
I would love to hear what it says.
Main Street, it says, Main Street Smiles is likely a dental practice or dental office. Dental practices or offices are healthcare facilities where people can receive dental treatments. So that's all correct.
Right on.
Yeah. But we'd like a little bit more. Hey, John Williams, my ex would not floss. I divorced him. I thought it was disgusting. How often should a person floss? Is once a day okay, doctor?
Yeah, so the ADA recommends, that's the American Dental Association, recommends flossing once a day. And really, if you think about flossing, I think I used this analogy before, but if you're washing your car and you wash the, you know, the front and back of it, but you don't wash the sides of it, that's kind of what you're doing if you're not flossing, right? Because the toothbrush bristles, we can get all the flat areas on the outside and the inside, but to get in between the teeth, we need to floss.
It says here, John, does it help to kill the bugs in the mouth by flossing and brushing with an advanced mouthwash? Do we kill that bacteria you were talking about with those mouthwashes, doctor?
So there's some mouthwashes that have bactericidal ingredients, and I believe essential oils is one of them. So there's some that do. My feeling on that is, you know, that's great. There's good enough, and then there's better. But to me, if you can get to good enough, then that's good enough, right? Because really what we're trying to get to is good oral health, a good regimen that you can keep up and that it's working for you. You're not getting decay. You're not having progressive disease.
Sure. But I mean, those antibacterial, is that what it is? Mouthwashes, that would be best, right? There's no reason you can't do that, right?
No, and so the essential oils, I believe, is the active ingredient in some of the mouthwashes that is bactericidal.
I should look for that on the ingredients label? It'll say essential oils?
Yeah, essential oils. And the other thing is fluoride. So fluoride we know to be, it basically inhibits the bacteria's ability to reproduce.
Are the store brands or generic ones as good as the name brand ones?
To me, yes, they're all great.
Is there one brand that you like better than another?
No, I'm across all brands. It's really more about you taking the time and investing in your own oral health than it is what you're using.
I was thinking about that last night. I was going to bed. I didn't want to do the three things, brush, floss, rinse. And I thought, it will take me 4 minutes, 3 minutes to do all of this. It's amazing, you know, how we got 24 hours a day, but those 3 minutes, I just don't have time for. And we all do that to ourselves. John, I brushed.
And not only that, but these 3 minutes can save you tens of thousands of dollars in your pocket. I mean, dental treatment is expensive, you know, and if you can just do your two cleanings a year, you're saving thousands and thousands of dollars.
Okay, short answers to these questions. I brush and floss every morning. I don't do either at night. Is that bad?
It's better to do it at night than in the morning, but, you know, if it's working, if you're having good checkups, if you're seeing your dentist, then that's okay.
Listen to this report. It says here we got a PR release. Somebody wanted me to have this conversation on the radio. Sheetz, Sheetz, is a Pennsylvania company with 20,000 employees, came under fire recently after their smile policy surfaced. They stated that applicants for jobs with obvious missing, broken, or badly discolored teeth are not qualified for employment. It hit the news out there in Pennsylvania. Research, they said, shows that people with a nice smile are 45% more likely to get a job or get a promotion for a higher salary than people without a nice smile. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, when you see someone with a smile that, you know, there's a lot of leaps that are taken from that, a lot of assumptions that are made when you look at someone and they don't have teeth that look healthy, that look nice, and it's just a stigma, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of that has to do with the poverty cycle in this country, or even insurance coverage and insurance availability. So it's unfortunate, but no, it's not surprising.
Bernadette has a question for you. You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Bernadette? Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Recently, I read that their fluoride was introduced into our water around 1942 and 43, and I could not believe that. I always used that as an excuse for bad teeth, that, well, there was no fluoride back then. But I wanted to know, is when fluoride was introduced, was it just in a small area and then eventually it went nationwide?
What do you know about that, Doc? Sure.
So fluoride is touted as probably the best innovation of our public health system ever, because it's decreased the incidence of tooth loss and tooth decay across the board. It is in the 40s that it was introduced, and I believe, I want to say it was Michigan, somewhere in Michigan where it started, but then it was pretty quick to spread. The thing that people don't understand, though, is fluoride is in city water, public water, in almost all the communities. There's a few that are not fluoridating their water, but if you're in a well water community, if you're not in a city water community, then you likely do not have fluoride. Also, if you drink bottled water, most of the bottled waters do not have fluoride in them.
773 says, will Main Street Smiles take me as a client if all I want is a teeth whitening? Do I have to do all that other stuff?
Nope, we will take you just for a teeth whitening as long as you've been to the dentist in the last year. And you know, there are some rules that we follow that are mandated by the dental boards, and that is that somebody has checked your teeth in the last year.
I got a ton of questions here, and now we're out of time. Give me a real short answer to this. Waterpik versus flossing, are they one as good as the other, or do you prefer one over the other?
I always prefer flossing. It's mechanical versus the water spray. That's my 2 cents on it.
You can ask your questions, I guess, to the doctor if you just click on mainstreet312.com. I've got so many, Doc, I don't have time here now for all of them, but I suppose people could reach out to you there, mainstreet312.com?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's good to hear your voice. Thanks for your help today, Doctor.
Thanks, John.
Dr. Amar Patani, who is the family dentist at Main Street Smiles in Barrington.